If you are a regular listener to us over here at the Hanging with Apes podcast, then by now you know that we are absolutely fascinated with the dichotomy between the TradCon conservative movement and the Red Pill community. I have even gone on to theorize that I believe that this particular riff will go on to shape politics, that'll shape society, that it'll shape culture. And in fact, I think it's very hard to argue that it hasn't already begun to shape culture. And as we all know, and like the great Andrew Breitbart once said, politics is downstream from culture. So in today's episode, we are going to talk about an actual debate that has taken place between Hannah Pearl Davis, also known as Just Pearly Things, and Michael Knowles from over at the Daily Wire. Now, we didn't know this debate was taking place. For the longest, we've known that the Red Pill community has wanted to debate TradCon conservatives, but for the longest, it seemed like the TradCons were dodging the Red Pill community, but not in this instance. And we found out about this particular debate from our good friend Vince over at Critic at XL. You should go and check out his work. A lot of great articles, really insightful stuff. He sent this video to us talking about this debate that was going to take place. And then as we record this, it was either a day or two ago that the actual debate was published. And we are going to give you our overview and our analysis of that particular debate between Michael Knowles and Just Pearly Things. Let's get into it. Yo, this is Hanging with Apes, an Audio Apes podcast. Real talk, real topics, no limits. Audio Apes, music with no boundaries. What's up, everybody? This is K Cartoon.
This is RX Phonics.
We are the Audio Apes, and you are officially Hanging with Apes, a weekly Tuesday podcast where we discuss trending topics, current news, and relevant subjects with a philosophical and comedic flair and our take on it. Two guys from the south side of Chicago. There is explicit language at times, so be advised. Go on over to our website, that's hangingwithapes.com. You can sign up for our newsletter. And if you want to listen to some really good rap and hip-hop, go to any major music streaming platform, type in Audio Apes, and our catalog pops up.
It truly is the best.
It truly is the best. Like always, if you're listening to us on Apple or Spotify, give us a 5-star review. It helps us out a lot. If you want to help us stay independent, go to our website, donate an amount of your choosing, or buy some merch. And if you know somebody that would be interested in the things that we talk about, please share the episode with them. We're on all podcast platforms. I apologize for the intro being interrupted for a second week in a row by RX. Last week by laughing, this week by coughing. You know, you have one job and it's to shut the fuck up. And so,
I'm dying.
It's all good. But yeah, interesting topic to talk about. I always love in election season when it's like we know we're going to cover a lot of like stuff in the election season and it's obviously about politics, but it's always nice to be able to deviate from that a little bit and talk about something that we find important. Do you find, though, before we even get into the thick of this actual debate between Michael Knowles and Just Pearly Things, and we get into all the interesting, God, I hate the word nuance because everybody like uses it so much, but get into the nuances of it. I would like to ask you, do you find people as interested in this subject matter as you and I are? Like, do you in like just like your normal everyday life?
No.
But yet people are very interested in like relationship dynamics and dating and everything like that. Yeah. Like a lot of people are married, they have kids. So because to answer my own question that I just asked you, yeah, I would agree with that. I don't find a lot of people interested in this stuff, but yet this stuff correlates with some of the biggest decisions that people make in their everyday life. And as a result of that, that translates over into affecting politics because it's obviously statistically evident that women that are married and have kids tend to vote differently than women that aren't married and don't have kids.
Yeah.
Men that are married tend to be more involved in politics than men that aren't married. So we're talking voter blocks, we're talking demographics, and yet the interest in this topic isn't there. And well, not necessarily on a mainstream level, even though it does strike me that the red pill has basically become mainstream at this point. But I guess it could be shallow, though. A subsection of the mainstream.
Yeah, subsection. And also, I think that when it gets to the mainstream, it could be the shallower side of it. Because everything, and this is for everything, like no matter how good or how bad it is, when you get like the surface level stuff, it's like people aren't really thinking about it. They look at it as like, oh, these are the little quotes and the little slang and the little, this is what we think it's about.
The platitudes.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, hence, we talked about the alt-right before the alt-right. The alt-right, what it is today, is not what the alt-right was when we talked about the alt-right.
When we talked about the alt-right, we basically would have been, the way we operate would be representatives of like what the original alt-right was, not like what Hillary Clinton ended up saying the alt-right was, like, white supremacist and all that. Yeah. The alt-right was basically guys like us that they don't necessarily hold Christian conservative beliefs, but in a lot of aspects are conservative.
Yeah. The alt-right was basically...
And it's weird because it's
the
like...
The red pill, in a way.
Yeah, in a way. And it's weird because it's like, we're not... We wouldn't classify ourselves as Christian conservatives, even though we believe in God and we are conservative. But it's one of those things that, like, I feel like when the label of Christian conservative is doled out, that sort of comes with like this inherent notion of like trying to push your beliefs on other people and like evangelize. And we don't really do that. We're more of like truth seekers, I would say.
Yeah. I'd say it's like Friedrich Nietzsche, if he believed in God.
Yeah.
Like, because we believe like we should try to strive to be a better version and transcend what we are now.
Exactly.
But we still do believe in God. If I'm not mistaken, he had a hard time believing in God. Yeah. And so.
But yet he felt that most people should believe in God.
Yeah. 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 And the thing is, it's like, when you look at the way, what we covered, going back to the alt-right, like, a lot of it is like, a lot of intellectual material, a lot of very forward-thinking material, that when the mainstream sees it, it scares them. And so they have to make it the enemy.
Yeah.
And that's what happened to the alt-right. And they try to do that with the red pill, too. Like, oh, look at another red pillar. Yeah. It's a toxic masculine, man.
Well, yeah, to the point where now the red pill people and, like, red pill, certain ideas in the red pill sphere, if you will, are basically on, like, federal agency watch lists.
Yeah, yeah. And all for really, like, looking at the world from as it is. As it is now.
Yeah.
Relationship dynamics, male female roles. It is what it is. We could look at it and be like, oh well, these motherfuckers are insane and they're a glass half empty type people, or you could be like, these people see it for what it is. Now, in the way that we talked about and that we've covered this, and that like the people that are into it are, it's like we are like the Paul Revere of this shit, because like we're talking about stuff that will affect the future. Yeah. Like probably
it's already starting to.
Yeah. People don't talk about it. Like the everyday common person does not talk about it.
No.
When they think red pill, they might think, oh, like Catch what do they call him? Advice guys.
Yeah.
I forget what they call them, the artists.
The pickup artists.
The pickup artist type guys. And it's like so far from that.
No, yeah, that's not.
This is more like sexual marketplace, marriage laws, which in the debate they talked about all of it.
Yeah.
And it's like, observations, really, and like notes, and Red Pill is not even like, there's so many facets to Red Pill because you have so many different types of Red Pillars. Like, for example, this is like the more obscure one of the originals, Sandman. He's like,
yeah,
off the grid Red Pill.
Yeah, but he's like a Red Pill shaman.
Yeah,
yeah, like.
And so, like, if you think Pearl Davis
just are not on that level,
yeah, because like Pearl Davis, like she'll entertain like the shit that's going on now, and have debates and all that, like, and not that Sandman wouldn't, but it's like Sandman, he doesn't even like, why are we having this conversation? Yeah. It's over with.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
What are you having this conversation for? What do you seek to achieve?
He's on some like what could be. What sort of technologies will be introduced to maybe salvage procreation and, like, you know, to basically prevent population collapse? That's why where his mind is at, because he's so certain in that the dynamics between men and women will just never be what they ought to be.
Yeah.
That it's like he's thinking, all right, well, what comes next? Because you motherfuckers are arguing about this ship that's sinking right now.
Yeah, yeah. Which I found so interesting when Pearl was talking about abortion, like one in every, I think, four women have an abortion. And she's like, abortion is murder, right? And Michael Knowles is like, yeah. But it's like Michael Knowles has a hard time to like make it where like women are responsible for that.
The tradcons in general have a hard time. Look at when we cover Charlie Kirk on the Whatever podcast.
Yeah.
The same thing. It's like, oh, the women have been duped. Have they? Have they been duped? I think they know what they're doing.
Yeah.
It's like, it's so crazy to me. It's just such an insane notion that it's like, oh, I was tricked.
Yeah. Like, that's why it's badass. Like your slogan, like, these bitches want to kill their kids, because it's like...
My slogan? Yeah. That's just like, great that you called it my slogan.
Yeah. Yeah, because it's badass because it's like, well... They do. That's a fact. And it's an in-your-face, like, it's like what they fail.
This is great slogan.
It's like if you tell that to a TradCon, they'll be like, they're not bitches. Yeah, like, exactly. They don't want to kill them. They're victims. It's like, it's almost like.
It's like throwing garlic on a vampire.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, because it kind of reminded me of when they were talking about, like, when she's like, oh, I think the Democrats or the Republicans have to start buying their votes with men. I think men should stop voting.
Yeah.
Men should, like, be off the grid when it comes to this shit. Let shit get bad. So then she's like, I would like it if Biden were to propose, like, a paternal DNA test after a woman has a baby. And then Michael Knowles was like, I find that to be... What was it? I find that to be disrespectful to the institution of marriage.
Yeah.
And then, like, in my mind, I was like, well, what's more disrespectful to the institution of marriage? That or opening, your bedroom door and your wife getting routed out by the dingus, the greatest dingus of all time? Like, which one would you feel?
No, I wasn't in that room. I wasn't
there. But you know what I'm saying? Like, it's like, which one is really disrespectful? Yeah. So it's gotten to that point where, like, it's bad. It's bad.
Real bad.
It's bad when it comes to, like women wanting to stay married. Women even being, like, that was one point that she made about, like, a lot of women are overweight. Yeah. So, like, all these, once you start going through all the metrics of, like, what a man would want, women are not really providing that.
Yeah.
You know, obviously, we're talking generally. Everyone's dynamic is going to be different. As an individual, you're going to know what you like, what you don't like, and it might not look the same as everyone else.
But the generalities is a good place to start, because it's basically like this. Think about it, like when you go to a bank and apply for a loan or whatever, there has to be certain benchmarks that are met before it's like, well, whatever you want to do with this particular piece of property or with this particular loan or whatever it is, whatever business you have being conducted at the bank, certain benchmarks need to be met. Like, okay, the credit needs to be this, you need to have this much down or whatever.
Yeah.
Now, whatever unique thing you do after that, yeah, that's like what you just said. It's like, oh, people's dynamics are be what they'll be. Mm-hmm. But benchmarks have to be met before we even get to the dynamics.
Yeah.
And what Pearl is pointing out is that these benchmarks aren't being met.
No.
And men are getting a raw deal. And so, but the thing, the difference is, the difference is like with us, the red pill community, is that we're not, you and I and guys like us, we don't like really like complain about it. We're basically, like you said, and I thought that was very on point, like Paul Revere, like we're basically the harbingers of, well, this is what is, and yeah, so like what's really gonna pop off, because like I'm living a life of purpose, like I'm doing my thing, but the rest of y'all that are like really invested in this,
yeah,
what does your future look like, what does your situation look like, or do we just basically resort to a world of just, you know, hedonism and like nobody like cares about any of this stuff or whatever, because that would probably be like the fast track to like the nukes flying, you know, yeah, what I'm saying?
Yep.
So yeah, it's interesting.
That, and then it's funny, and you know, you how you said that we fall under conservatives. I don't even think, like, I think at this point where trad cons are taking conservatism, it almost makes me feel like if I were a Democrat and someone called me a socialist, I'd be like, hey, whoa, hold up.
Yeah.
That's how I feel. Like, if you were to call me a conservative right now, that's how I'm starting to feel. Like, hey, whoa, hold on. I'm an America First Republican. Like, yeah, don't call me a conservative.
Yeah, it's funny.
Shut, yeah, your fucking mouth.
Because it's so, it's anchored to such a naivety and like, yes, such a unrealistic worldview, mm-hmm, that you sort of feel like, okay, well, hold on, I'm not in the bag with those people, yeah, those crazies. I'm not yeah, one of those crazies.
It's getting to that point, because it's like, the wild. He was saying the wildest things, Michael Knowles.
Yeah, but he's been on that. Like, we can backtrack this from his appearance on the Whatever podcast, when he said that, oh well, me and my wife can't get divorced. And then I think the host asked why. And he said, because we're Catholic. And it was great how Pearl brought that shit up.
I'm, yeah,
like, she's like, yeah, I'm sorry to tell you, Michael, but Catholics get divorced. I've seen it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, and he had nothing. It was just, and she really nailed the whole thing on the head when she said, I'm not talking about the world that ought to be, because he kept saying it ought to be.
Yeah.
But we're not talking about what it ought to be.
Yeah.
We're not talking, because, I mean, there's a lot of ought to be's. Like, I know some guys that think that, like, Beyonce ought to be in their bed when they get home, but that's not going to be. Yeah. That's not the world we live in. So my point is that, like, you could say whatever you want to say.
Yeah.
The world we live in is not that.
Yes. To add to your point, I didn't paraphrase it verbatim, but this was kind of how the dynamic went. He's like, Catholics don't divorce. And then Pearl was like, women have access to men during with dating apps. Like, the whole dating thing is, yeah, different now. Like, you're out of your depth because you haven't been in dating. And then she's like, women forget they're Catholic in divorce court.
Yeah.
And it's like, you can't pray for your woman to leave you, or, yeah, for your woman not to leave you.
Yeah.
And then he's like, yes, you can pray. Like, what are you talking about? And then she's like, the average marriage is 7 years. She's like, yes, that was a union. They were married.
Yeah.
He's like, but they were married. Like,
but
yes, like, but,
yeah, but isn't it supposed to be forever?
Yeah. But his argument kept being like, no, but they were, you could have still got a family out of that. Like, what is it, so Michael? That's
like, right, broken homes is something to aspire to?
Yeah, like,
it's like, again, aren't you guys the conservatives?
Yeah.
You're just accepting everything. Oh, well, yeah, like, you know, accept the broken home, accept craziness.
Another one. This is another one. This shit had me going wild. Let me see. Okay, so he was talking about, she said this. She had all these quotables. Like, literally, you could put Pearl Davis.
She did very well.
Yeah, so they're talking, and then she's like, oh, but this is how conservatives do this. And then she's like, what have conservatives succeeded in conserving the last 50 years? And he said, not even the bathrooms. He milliseconds into it, he conceded. I said, bro, yes, not even the bathrooms. You couldn't even.
Is that the part of the interview where he looked at Pro and he's like, bitch, you came with your guns loaded.
I'm like, bro, exactly. Like, where has that taken you? Where has any of your worldview taken us? Nowhere. Like, it has become more and more and more liberal, more and more and more progressive, more and more wild, LGBTQA+, sometimes Y, and also Z, baby. Like, the fuck? That's, I don't even know.
New track by RX.
Baby, that's the newest. That's the newest gender. It's like, how many genders? I'm a trans man. What is that? Like, are you a man or are you a woman? We can't even have that conversation. It's like this one meme that I saw today. I meant to send it to you, but it was hilarious because it's like the things that they say, if you just switch it to something else, it's just funny. Dr. Julia Shaw, trans women are women. Trans women are women. Trans women are women. Trans women are women. Basically saying, like, get this through your fucking head. So someone else responded, Jay Chris, that was his name. J. Chris Mentor on X. My Kia is a Mercedes. 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 Yeah, we could say anything.
Yeah.
My bottle of water is juice. My bottle of water is juice. My
Roth IRA is the same as Peter Thiel's $6 billion. My Roth IRA is the same as Peter Thiel's $6 billion. My Roth IRA is the same as Peter Thiel's $6 billion.
You know what we're achieving right now? Utopia.
Right. I have a trans IRA.
IRA.
Like, so why aren't you motherfuckers, when I go to the bank, giving me a billy? Yeah. Because
I'm worth a motherfucking billy. I'm fucking
my IRA's trans. What the fuck? Yeah.
You're talking to the teller like, I'm worth a motherfucking billy, bitch. She's like, billy, you're negative $300 on your checking. Oh, shit. Like, what do you... But, like, we live in fantasy land.
Yeah.
What have they done? They haven't done a damn thing. And so then when you have right-wing thinking people, but that want to look at the world...
That's even right-wing, because that's just kind of just reality.
Yeah, well, yeah, exactly. Like, well, yes, that's exactly what I was going to say. So it's right-wing thinking people that then also look at the world and at the reality of things, and like, yes, you're gonna have a block of people that will vote Republican because, like, a lot of the stuff that they're looking at is like, well, the other side isn't making sense. I'm with what makes sense. And yeah, you're right. Perhaps it's not even right wing people. It's like people with some common sense, and you don't have that, like, on the other side. Or not in the numbers. Like, I feel like, for example, like, what on the left, you'll see, like, a RFK, you'll see a Bill Maher, where, like, they have some reason to them. You don't agree fully with the shit that they subscribe to, but at least it's like, I could get behind some of their shit, but, like, you don't see them congregating the way the right wing does. Like, right. like the red pillars do. Like, you don't see that on the left. You just see, like, extremeness.
The and mob, then, and then... Yeah, and then those, the, like, few outliers.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
But, so, yeah, the elitist, the mob, and then there's, like, the sprinkled outliers.
Yeah, because, yeah, like, I'm sure, like, the left really don't even want to claim Bill Maher. The left definitely doesn't want to...
Claim RFK, for sure.
Yeah, like, and what's wild is RFK, like, when it comes to the jab, when it comes to certain things, I'm like, man, this based. Guy's on point. Yeah, real based... I'd have to see more into, like, what his other policies are, because I wouldn't be able to just, like, off the bat, because he's a lot more obscure than other candidates. But it's like, okay, I'm willing to listen to your policies to see, like, what works. I might agree with only 60%, but let's say, for example, you win, you're not my favorite, but I wouldn't feel like how I feel about Biden.
Of course not.
I'd be like, all right, well, this motherfucker kind of...
Yeah.
When it comes to, like, the medical field and, like, the, big pharma, this motherfucker's going to be real on point.
Yeah, there's things that you can point to that you find redeemable.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
And so, like, what this conversation reminded me of is like these. Oh, and you brought this point up from when we were talking before, how like I was talking about, you sound like they sound like the elitist,
yeah,
of the right wing,
mm-hmm.
like what she asked him about? She was talking about the average man or something. Yeah,
so there was a point in the conversation where Michael Knowles he came off as so vapid. She was like pointing out the differences between his life, his lifestyle, his financial standing, all of that, and those elements of the average man's life.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, but I don't understand. Like, what's the difference between me and the average man? And she hit him with like, do you know how out of touch you sound right now? And that's, but we've been saying that that's their biggest thing is how out of touch they sound.
Yeah.
It's like, one of us haven't dated in I don't know how long. One of us, when they did date, like they basically, like Ben Shapiro basically has said, like the first girl that he like got a whiff of it, like he married her.
Yeah.
It's like, and I'm not knocking it, like beautiful, like that worked out for you, like, you know, the Disney shit, like whatever, like that's awesome. Ben, but again, that's not the average man though.
No,
that's not the average man, and that's what we're trying to tell you, Marvel. It's like that's not none of how you did it is the average man. Yet you are propagating them to sign up for the rawest of deals, and then on top of that, rather than take any sort of responsibility in. Well, you know what? We are pushing this and like let's kind of like give a more in-depth look at like what it is that we're saying or like what the outcomes and the results of things, how this sort of advice concludes. It's just, oh, well, no, like it's a basically like one size fits all. And that's not the case. Like, do you know how radically irresponsible it would be like if a basketball, like an NBA player came to like a school, right? Like a high school where like, you know, the kids are a little bit more developed and older and to basically like tell them, oh, well, like you all couldn't be in the NBA. Like that's like, that's radically irresponsible to say something like that. Like, no, you should have a message of, oh, well, what works for you? Like, how do you want to do it? Like, you know, I'm in the NBA, but like you might be like way better at something else. And like that'll be like you could enter like whatever your NBA is, like whatever your elite field is, you could enter it. That's responsible. Yes. Not this, oh, well, basically, if you don't procreate and you're not living a life of celibacy, then you're not a man. So it's either you procreate or live a life of celibacy. Those are the only way that you could like be considered a man. Anything outside of that is not masculine. And that's, you are more inclined to hear some sort of like totally illegitimate logic from like an upset woman than from a man. And that the man's in this dynamic, the man is who said that.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's like a lot of the stuff that he's saying.
And it's like, what is closer to feminism? Like, what is closer to feminism? Pearl sitting there saying, I understand why men think that this is a raw deal. Or Michael No saying, oh, well, if you don't like do what we say, you're not a man. Which one sounds more like a feminist?
Yeah, that's... I should tell you everything you need to know about like, who's right and who's wrong. Because
it's the feminists that hit dudes all the time. Oh, you're not a man. You're not a man. It's like, well, first off, you don't know anything about being a man.
So sit your ass the fuck down.
You're like generalizing because you're not getting whatever it is you think you want. And the same thing with Michael Knowles. And I get it. I get it. So much of this conversation is latched on to like his value system, his worldview, his core philosophy. I understand that, but at some point, you do have to question shit. Like, at a certain point, like, there was a time, I mean, this is not quite the same, but in a way, it is kind of, it's still, like, existential to an extent. Like, there was a time, like, Eminem was my favorite rapper.
Yeah.
And then things changed with Eminem. Like, he kind of got a little bit on, like being, like, agenda-driven and started, like, dipping his toes into, like, subject matter that I didn't think was really his cup of tea or whatever. And somehow Eminem went from like my favorite rapper ever, and like Kanye kind of like ended up taking that mantle.
Yeah, yeah.
And so that's like an evaluation. That's like, yeah. Okay. Or like, look at Tucker Carlson recently. Well, he's talked about this in many different occurrences, not just necessarily recently, but Tucker, when he said how wrong he was about the Iraq war, and he was like a puppet. Like, yeah, like at a certain point you have to reevaluate your value system. Is like, all right, well, like, are my values still realistic? Are they still anchored to reality? And
yeah,
Michael Knowles and the guys at Daily Wire, they're completely not.
Yeah, yeah, like it really reminds me of like why we've always been like never against abortion but not for abortion. We're like kind of like don't.
We're basically the guys that was like, we don't have a dog in the fight, but we will tell you that the whole my body, my choice is a stupid ass argument. Like, we're those guys. We're,
yeah.
I feel like we are Gerard Carmichael's character in Poor Things when it comes to that issue.
Yeah, like, this is what it is.
Yeah.
What the fuck is you talking about? Like, what are you doing? And so, to me, what's funny is like, you can look at the arguments on both sides and be like, listen, I get both sides, but the both arguments are fucking stupid.
Yeah.
And also, like, the TradCon view of the world is like, bro, you haven't seen broken homes. You haven't seen the ghettos. Like,
yeah.
Bro, I would be very weary of
three
the shit
baby
that you're...
daddies.
Yeah.
Bunch of kids you can't afford. Drama. Those kids grow up. They repeat the cycle.
There's a
like,
sad-ass video.
What are you
video.
Talking about, dude? Like, you're not from where we're from. Yeah. You haven't seen it.
Nope.
Shut the fuck up. Like, it's that type of thing.
There's a sad-ass video I saw on a... It was a like a train. Like a... It didn't seem like it was a bus. So it definitely was like a CTA train or something. I don't know what city it was. Maybe Chicago. It looked like it kind of. But like the kid is playing like on like an iPad. He's like 4. And he's like, Dad, like don't do that. And like the mom is doped up out of her mind doing that like cluck as lean.
Yeah.
And then he's like
the
going.
Dope, the dope nods.
Yeah, the dope nods. Both of them are doing dope nods. In public transit, and then like the kid is like 4 on an iPad, like like you look at that situation and you're like, man, was this kid better off like not being born? Because like, what is in store for this child?
Only God can help. Only God can help him.
Yeah.
Only God can help him. Like if some way somehow God can like maneuver through all of it and like get that kid out however he can, that's the only way. That is the only way. And that's the thing that the Daily Wire guys, they don't see that. They don't understand that.
Because they don't see the reality. Because they'll look at it like, but you know, everyone deserves to be born and God will take it. But it's like, do you see the parents or no?
Yeah.
Are they like not a factor here? Because like, parents are the biggest factor in a child's life.
Yes.
What are we doing here?
And then also on some political stuff, do you know what sort like the voter bloc that's growing? It's not the one that you want to win. The voter bloc, like that kid and like the voter bloc that kid becomes a part of, is not the one that you want.
Yeah.
And that's the other thing that they don't think about. And it is sad, like those sorts of situations. And that's why I have an immense respect for guys like Andrew Tate. The guys that are kind of... They're like the sophisticated, like gangster guys.
Yeah.
It's like we're from the streets. Like, we know what it is. We know how things operate. We'll tell you, like, what we think it should be, but we're not here living, as Michael Knowles would put it, the way things ought to be. We're living in the reality. Now, Michael Knowles, if like you had the magic paintbrush, your world would probably be a better world to live in. Yeah. I'll give you that. But do you have that magic paintbrush? Are you fucking Oz from the Land of Oz? Are you the Great Wizard? I don't think so. So until then, we're going to fucking go down the yellow brick road.
That's the only way he would have won that argument, that debate. Is like, yeah, I actually do I have that fucking one.
I actually am Oz. So.
Just start swinging the wand around and everything changes. I was like, damn.
Everybody knows you did that.
Everybody in the 313. That's how the debate ends. That's like, that would be the only way, because you're going off of like a hope and a prayer here.
Yeah.
And it's like, nah, bro, like that. We need a lot more to that. Like, at least she had solutions. And this is the thing. When you start listening to the other side, you start realizing like, oh, maybe there should be laws. Maybe there should be laws on certain things. Not that like for example, the no-fault marriage thing, I think it doesn't really fix anything, because like, if the girl doesn't want to be with you,
why would you even want her there anyway?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't rock with like the no-fault divorce thing either. Yeah. It's like, I mean, I don't rock with getting rid of no-fault divorce, because yeah. If you don't want to be here, the door is there.
Yeah.
Go. Like, I'm not, like, I don't want you to be with me if you don't want to yeah. be with me. Like, so this thing, oh, well, like, there has to be, nah, like, that's how it is. But again, that doesn't coincide with their worldview.
Yeah, but there's another thing, too, that a point that I couldn't understand where
how their we value even, system.
Yeah, really. Yeah, like, and they couldn't even really fathom a divorce, even like from the standpoint of actually why we got to this part of the conversation was because she said Pearl Davis said men have to pay child support on a child that might not be his after two if he finds out that it's not him, he's not in the California, paternal father. Yeah. Yeah, California. She's like, how do you not, like, how do you that do that?
In any world, fair.
Yeah, fair. And not only that, but, like, how can he not want a divorce? It's like, you don't think that he should want a divorce for that? He's like, no, like, I don't think. So, basically, cucked out. Like, you're yeah. cool with a man being cucked out. And to me, that, it's like, no, a man should be able to divorce and be absolved of the financial, like,
responsibility. Duty. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it's up to him to do what he wants at the end of the day, but like, definitely not up to the government, definitely not up to Big Brother, and he had the ample opportunity to have been like, oh well, I didn't know that, or you know what, I do agree with that, like that is messed up.
Yeah.
No, it's like, no, like no divorce. We don't believe in divorce. We don't get divorced.
Or
Catholics
in
don't
the
divorce.
Cases where he did say, oh, that is messed up, or I agree, or whatever. But yet I'm still pushing guys to do this stuff. And she's saying, well, no, like guys need to make their own decision. Because she was pretty adamant about not really taking a position on what guys should or shouldn't do.
Yeah.
Her position was essentially, I'm just providing the information
yeah.
and like guys do with it as you will.
As she put it, she said, we're reporters, not preachers. Like we report what we see.
Exactly.
He sounded preachy, though.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, what are we doing here? Are you playing God, bro? Like, are you God? Or are you going to let the world happen as it's happening and go from there? Or have solutions to some of this stuff? Because, like, none of what he brought up were solutions. He was hearing out solutions from her end, but never really, like, anything. Well, actually, to be honest with you, the Jason Whitlock Fearless interview was a much better conversation, because Jason was like pushy when he had to be, but not like overbearingly pushy
mm-hmm.
to see like what she believed. But like, it was more so like, okay, I could see that. All right, cool. He wanted to understand. And perhaps it was because his was maybe more so catered to being like an interview, and the Knowles and
Was
more of a debate. Maybe perhaps it was that, but it's like, just because it's a debate doesn't mean that you can't concede on certain things.
Yeah.
You know, like, and then the things that you concede on make you look really bad. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, and it makes you look like, all right, well, then you know you're wrong. You know your position is wrong.
Yeah. It's like, yeah, but it ought to be, and you know what? Still get married.
Yeah.
So you still prescribe the same issue, which was the beginning of the conversation, the point of this debate, the point of the contention. You're just like, yeah, but still, above all else, after we just found out that there's 700 million a gazillion things wrong with this. Yeah, still get married, still look for the love of your life, and you know, hope for the best, because it ought to work.
Yeah,
because it's how it ought to be. Like, nah, bro. I wonder though, do you think that Ben Shapiro would have done a better job in this situation, or do you think it was just like, this is not really a winnable?
No, I think, if I can be completely honest, like, to me, this is going to be kind of fucked up, but I think the Daily Wire treated Michael Knowles as, like, basically a goofy. Like, there's a lot of internet attention on us having a debate, so just go, like, shut these people up and, like, yeah, Michael, you go do it or whatever. I feel like the people at the Daily Wire feel like they're above this conversation, because they're so, because if you think about the left, and when a person is not operating from a standpoint of objective reality, and like everything that they're saying and how they're going about things is subjective, because this dude didn't really have like any like real stats to like back up what he was saying or anything like that. So that's fine. Like, you're going off of, you know, a subjective standpoint. The left does that a lot. The left does, and we criticize them for it, but like, you motherfuckers are doing the same thing. You're going off of a subjective standpoint. And so now, if you notice people that operate from a subjective standpoint, it's very, what's the word? It's very idealistic. And now you're getting into like an ideology and a dogma, really. And you're not like, you're immovable on this. No matter like what is presented to you, like, you're just dogmatic about it, no matter what's presented to you. And you see that a lot with like people on the left.
Yeah.
It's like, you could point out every flaw in a person's argument, and it's just, they're just going to be dogmatic. And there are people like that. It's sad that like we've come to that place. Or you get the infamous, oh, I don't want to talk about that. But then why do you talk about it then? Why are you so adamant about it? It's like when you meet the realest and the illest, now you don't want to talk about it?
Yeah, but you talk about it. So this is the thing that kills me. If you don't want to talk about it, like, then don't say things. Because like, in a bar, the things that they've said in a bar, like,
you get knocked the fuck out.
Yeah, you get knocked the fuck out. So it's fine. You're above it. Shut the fuck up about it. We don't like, don't share your opinion, because you ain't willing to fight.
Right.
And so that's,
I'm not trying to fight you, but I'll fuck you up.
Yeah.
I'll fuck you up,
because I know I'm more masculine than you. Look at me. I'm a man. You ain't a man. Like, that's the shit that they were saying. Like, red pill men are not masculine. Like, bro, who would win in a fight? You or Myron Knowles.
Yeah, you or Andrew Tate.
You or Andrew Tate Knowles. Like, come on.
Yeah.
So. And I'm not saying like red pillars are more massive. I'm not gonna go.
No, they're the ones saying it.
Yeah. Because red pillars aren't saying that. It's them saying that. Yeah. And it's like, bro, like, watch out.
Well, Michael knows he's the same one. Like, he's the one that's like the most flip with it.
Yeah.
Because we at the round table that the Daily Wire had, he was like, oh, like, they're basically gay.
Yeah.
Is that?
So when fucking Andrew
Tate, that's the hill you want to die
on? Yeah. So when these motherfuckers come in on some Bruce Wayne shit with 10 women on each side off of a yacht, and like, not even paying attention to them, really paying attention to their phone,
and you're just there with your jive ass bitch.
You know what I'm saying? Like, don't die on that hill, because it's not like, you will die on that hill.
Yeah.
Like that's just, don't do that. Like, understand that some people have a different worldview.
And also, that's the type of stuff that the left does. They make those absolute assertions of people.
Yes.
And so I don't rock with that. And so to finish answering your question, that I don't think Ben would have partook, because I believe he and the rest of them, from him to Jeremy Boring to all of them. And mind you, like, I don't have static with these guys. I think they provide a lot of good content. I think Ben is off on a lot of things.
Yeah. We're watching this debate. And it's not like the only thing that we'll watch. Like, I fuck with their content.
Yeah.
Like, you've told me about some of their movies, their documentaries, Off the Chain. Like, but certain things is like, I don't know.
And particularly Ben, because he's basically the leader.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, well, you've been off about Trump. You've been off about the jab. Yeah. You're off about, like, what took place in the 2020 election. You're off about a lot of things. You're off about this particular issue. But again, they're so dogmatic that I don't think, like, I truly, in my heart of hearts, believe that they think they're above this conversation, just like there's a certain conversations that the left thinks they're above.
Yeah.
It's like there's basically people out there that if you try to make the argument against them, that it's like, oh, there's no sort of patriarchy or like some sort of like oppressive boogeyman keeping minorities oppressed or whatever. There's people on the left that they won't even have that conversation. They just think they're so above it. Oh, you are clearly ignorant. You don't know. And then when you provide like facts and statistics, they don't want to hear it. That's just where it goes. They think they're above it. I think that's basically the situation with the guys at the Daily Wire.
Yeah.
And there's just too much internet pressure.
Yeah.
Because all of this shit that we've talked about, it's gone viral. Like, all of this stuff, people are talking about it. They're commenting on it. And then now you have the Red Pill community on several different instances saying, well, we challenge you guys. We challenge you guys. And you guys, I mean, your leader is, like, known for debates.
Yeah.
So for you to not partake, it looks kind of bad. And so to me, the way that I thought this was is like, all right, fucking pacify these guys here. Michael knows, just do it. It's whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
And then what's funny is because I don't really like too much engage in comment sections, but I did look at some of the comment sections on this particular debate, and it was obviously hosted by the Daily Wire. And even their audience, like, the audience is definitely not on board with us. They're basically oh, Pearl keeps interrupting and Pearl this and Pearl that. I'm like, you're really not looking at this objectively at all.
No, it's fucked up. As a matter of fact, even talking about like sometimes TradCon's borrowing from the tactics of the left, like there was a point in the conversation where I cringed so hard when he was like, yeah, but now I feel like you're marginalizing me. I was like, bro.
I don't even remember.
Yeah, that. He's like, that's so you're marginalized. Because he's like, yeah, now I feel like you're marginalizing Catholics. It's like, oh, God, I threw up in my mouth.
Michael knows you have successfully transformed into a lefty.
Yeah. Basically. It was such a leftist strategy on his whole debate.
You know what Michael knows reminded me of? He reminded me of. You ever seen like those pretty boy dudes that they'll like get a lot of girls, but it's like you could tell that like they're whack, but it's just like, oh, like they have like a little bit of charisma or whatever. Yeah. And like it's like enough to like it's enough to carry them.
Yeah,
but it's just like, yeah, fam, don't step to me type shit.
Yeah.
Like that's what I got from him.
It's like how rappers feel about Drake.
Perfect. That's so like you hit the nail right on the head. That you said it perfect. That's actually way better than like what how I was describing it. That was exactly right. Exactly that.
What happened when he met Pusha T though?
Exactly. It's just like where's that supposed diss that like, oh, it was gonna end his career, but it's just too harsh to put it out. Or yeah, whatever, motherfucker. Like
shut the fuck up. You beat up a weak ass Meek Mill. You thought you were gonna do the same thing to Pusha T.
Yeah,
and that's how Michael Knowles was. His ass was.
Yeah, that's a way better analogy than
as you were saying it. I thought you were gonna because you were literally like describing Drake because like he has that vibe to him.
Yeah,
like you know. Yeah, very successful, huge artist. But like when you talk about amongst rappers, like rappers are like, he's all right.
Yeah.
This is it.
I fucked dude up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pusher, you showed us.
Yeah. Exactly. 100%. 100%. So that's the aura that I felt Michael Knowles exuded.
Yeah.
And he's kind of like that. And I think that works to his benefit in many instances.
Yeah. Do you think it ends here?
Maybe, like, as far as the Daily Wire and the anybody from their camp debating the red pill.
Do you think that they thought that they lost? That
might end there, but, like, the this topic does not end here.
No. And then, like, do you think that they, from their standpoint, will look at this debate and think that they won?
Yeah, because like, what I've said previously of them being dogmatic about it, I think... I
actually agree with you.
Yeah, yeah. I think that they think they won. I think that they did like the like right Christian thing to do.
Yeah.
And I think they look at it in those terms, which is not like a bad way to look at a lot of things,
yeah,
but not this, because now this is like people's lives are basically at risk. I mean, I don't know how many people are listening to this have seen men go through a divorce.
Yeah.
I've never endured it. And, you know, I know people close to me that endured it, like, geez. So, like, they're not really talking about them. But I have seen some that, like, the way they went through it.
That shit's...
It's the most depressing, sad thing.
You lose it all.
Lose it all, and like you just want to like hug the guy, like, man, yeah, like, do you need anything? Like, you need me to make you a sandwich, bro? Like you look bad. Like it, like things are and it's sad, and it's sad, and you see it, and so
I need love.
You know,
it's fucked up.
You know, so
it's like what she was saying, and this was what was crazy about a woman saying this in 2024, right? In this debate to a man. And he's against this and she's for this. She was like, you know, at 40, you have to restart your whole life.
Imagine.
Like, you financially, your just your base, your foundation. Like, you start from scratch. Like, that's not something that's easy to stomach.
And you know, men, they say, I don't know, you hear varying things, but it's like you get like a lot of, oh, like 35 to like 45 is like men's prime. And you hear like different things. So even if somebody wants to make the argument, oh, well, like a man, he's at 40, he's still vital. I know, like, when I was born, my dad was 40, and, like, my dad is still vital to this day. So
yeah.
I think that there's some validity to when people say that. But that doesn't make it right. That doesn't make it right that, like, what I've built thus far, like, I have, like, it goes to zero because of the whims of somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
No, that's not right. That's not right. And that's basically what these guys are prescribing to men to sign up for. If another debate takes place, they better make sure it's with Pearl again, because if she did that well, I can't imagine what like a Myron would do. Just because I've been saying this, and like I give credit where credit's due. I haven't always been the biggest Fresh and Fit fan, but that dude's been on a higher level. Like I'm just gonna put it like that. Like he's been at a high level, and he's been on a high level with a lot of things like politics and just a lot of things where it's just like, okay, like this guy, he's playing. And I think you hit the nail on the head when we talked about it one time. I don't know if it was on air or in a phone conversation or what, but you said that you attribute his evolution to like the hurdles that they've faced, Fresh and Fit, like from being demonetized and whatnot, and that could be legit. So they definitely don't want it with a guy like that.
No,
it would be like that would like be like break the internet shit on them type.
Yeah,
thing.
That would be like the Ben Shapiro destroys liberals, but from the Daily Wire.
Yeah,
Myron Davis destroys the Daily Wire. It's like, that shit would come full circle. It's like, damn, this is wild.
Yeah.
They got destroyed. They used to do the destroying.
Yeah.
We'll see.
One thing before we close out, I was pointing out to you, and it does definitely coincide with this conversation. So recently, Tucker Carlson, he interviewed Chris Cuomo. Did you finish that whole video?
Yes, I did.
I loved it. I thought it was pretty awesome. Like, yeah. I thought it was different. I thought it was interesting. Then, like, it turns out Cuomo has been hired by Valuetainment. Tim Pool is very upset about it.
Yeah, I saw that video. Yeah.
So that's like a whole nother topic in and of itself. We're not going to get into. I don't know how I really feel about it. I know I'm not as mad about it as Tim Pool is. Like, I'm not that upset about it. I do think Tim Pool has made, like, some legitimate arguments, though. It's like, all right, well, like, you guys are totally forgetting who this guy, like, when he was at his height, the shit that he was on, and now that he's been humbled, it's easy to forget how he operated.
Yeah, but this could be the Jaime Lannister story arc for him. Like, the
True that.
Like, yeah, he was on some fuckery. I did not fuck with him. But like, it's like, well,
you're sharp with the analogy. Yeah, today.
Yeah, because like they started that show off with him. I was like, man, this is a bitch. Like, yeah. Fuck Jaime Lannister. He
threw the kid out of the window.
Yeah, I was like, this motherfucker, fuck, dude. Everything bad that happened.
And getting busy with his sister. Like, how could you imagine? That shit is great. Like, when that episode popped off, so he's in there nailing his sister, and then he throws the kid out of the window because he catches them. And then, like, right there as that popped off, somebody tells you, by the end of this show, like, you'll rock with dude.
Yeah. All right, get the fuck out of here, bitch. Shoot him. Blast him right out of the house. Oh. Yeah, like, nah, like, it could be. I'm not saying it will be, but I'm saying, like, you chose PBD, though. And so that does say a lot. You chose to talk to Tucker, and it was actually a pretty, like, good conversation. Very well-rounded conversation, respectful and, like, open to talking to the other side. Yeah. So I'm like, man, definitely not a fan of his, but definitely, like, willing to hear him out on a new platform that the people that are on there will disagree with you more.
Oh, 100%.
So it's like, well, who does Chris Cuomo, does he feel like, and also, like, PBD, they're all about, like, let's talk.
Yeah.
Like, it ain't no CNN where it's like, oh, you can't talk about this, you can't talk.
Yeah, it's not an echo chamber.
Yeah, the trans people, they're so offended, you better go say sorry. They're not going to say that. Is that what you said, Chris? Cool. All right, don't agree. I think you're out of whack. I think you need help. But yeah, go ahead, say it.
Yeah.
That's the best they'll get. And then you'll probably get a heated debate, which is fine. But, like, no, I think it's... I'm not angry about it. I wouldn't say that. I'm actually interested to see, like, what Chris does with it. I do, though, think that he definitely isn't, like, a Tucker type where, like... And I think he when you heard them talk, you realize that he needs to be under somebody.
Yeah, yeah, 100%.
He can't.
But what I will say, though, and I was talking to my mom about it, and I was asking her what she thought, and she was in agreement with me. I told her, I'm like, Chris Cuomo looks wounded, doesn't he?
Yeah.
And she's like, yeah, like you could see. And I also get the sense that he's like, he's been disillusioned by his side.
Yeah.
And it almost, like, and maybe I'm giving him more grace than he deserves. But it's almost like this thing of, like, I was wrong about a lot. I was wrong about a lot of people that I thought, like, were, like, would have been down. Even, there was such a sadness even when he said, like, that nobody from CNN called him when he got fired.
Wow,
like,
that made me feel bad. Even for him.
I did too. And Tucker felt bad. You could tell Tucker felt bad. Like, what? Like,
I don't give a fuck about. Human? Yeah, like if I fuck with you, you could have done some heinous shit. Hey, bro, you good? Like, I don't know what happened. Like, whenever you're ready to talk about it, but are you good?
Yeah.
If I've worked with you and we've had a good rapport, and we've gone through some shit together, like, if I'm your coworker, like, we. You know, he was there for a long time. Nobody called?
Yeah. And it almost makes it seem like jealousy because it's like he was the top dog.
Yeah.
So it's just like, damn, no Anderson, no Wolf Blitzer, no Jake Tapper, Dana Bash. Like, none of these guys, Don Lemon, none of them, you know. So that struck me as unbelievable.
And the fact that he called, that's another thing, he called Tucker when he got fired.
Yeah.
It's like, that's a person that's like, reflect as a man. I know how it feels.
Yeah.
Hey, bro, you good? Like exactly. I wasn't good.
Yeah.
So I just want to make sure you're good. Like, how are you feeling? Like, that does speak a lot on a man. Like, whether, regardless if you agree with him or not, or if you're the ops or not, you're not really on the same team as cool, but it does speak to the respect of how shit works.
Yeah.
And so with that conversation, I felt I liked him a lot more than like the persona.
Yeah.
You know, that's another thing too, is like when you're this persona, when you're, this is what I'm all about.
Yeah, it's different. And yeah, we know that from experience, from rapping,
yeah,
to doing sketch comedy, to even to an extent to the show.
Yeah.
It's just like, well, how we operate, how we talk on the show is not, the ideas are the same, but it's not conducted in the same way like in real life, you know?
No, yeah.
No, but what I was going to say is the part of that particular discussion between Tucker and Chris Cuomo that I felt correlated with the debate, with the Red Pill versus TradCon debate with Michael Knowles and Jess Pearly things was, did you notice when anytime Tucker talked about the dynamics between men and women, like he mentioned his wife a few times, he mentioned like how stupid it was for Cuomo to say that there are women that can beat him up. It's like, dude, you're jacked. Like, what women could beat you up? Stop that. Like,
yeah,
you're just playing to a certain audience. Tucker, although still a TradCon, did you find how he talks about women? And maybe just because Tucker's my guy, like,
he had Andrew Tate vibes.
Yeah, like, and that's what I wanted to see. This is not conjecture. I don't want it to be conjecture. That's why I'm kind of like checking with you. I don't want it to be contrived. But something about how he talks about it seemed different, or like more realistic than like the Daily Wire guys.
Yeah. I would say yes, because it was like still some trad connery going on.
You're the man now, dog.
But like in a very like based way, it's weird. Like for example, one time Andrew Tate had said, like, you know, if I see a male bum, I don't feel bad. He's a man. You got to figure it out. Like, you know, like I would feel a lot worse if I saw a female like bum. And what I mean by bum is like a hobo, like a, because yeah, not in the derogatory way. As I would feel bad for her because it's a woman. Like it's a rough thing to see a woman go through. And that's how I felt he was talking about like women in certain aspects of it. It's like, you know, we're different. It is what it is. But it was just like a very like base, like, oh, this is my wife, this is how we handle stuff, but this is how I am.
Yeah.
I'm the asshole. Like, it's like, it's a very, like, that's a lot more like what I grew up seeing with, yeah, like the older men when I was a child. Yeah. Like, oh, okay, cool. This is normal to me. You know, like, yes, as men, we understand we have the role to protect.
Yeah.
I'm never going to hide behind a woman, or I'm never going to be like, you know, but we're still the men, though.
Right. Like, but yet not like...
Like, we're not Tucker simping.
And he's not also not, like, absolving women
exactly
of their responsibility, their accountability.
Yeah, like he knows that there's roles to this shit, but it's like, you know, it's still... It felt realer. I don't know. I don't know how to pinpoint it, and I don't know if you knew, like, a specific...
Yeah, it's just as I was watching it, and every time any topic that involved the dynamics between men and women came up, he just seemed to approach it differently than the rest of the TradCons do. And I was like, am I giving Tucker more grace because that's my guy? You know what I'm saying? Because you're inclined to do that. It's like certain guys, like, for instance, the way we forgive Donnie T, like, about the jab, like, I'm sure we would not, like, grant many other people that forgiveness.
No, because that's, like...
But then also, too, it's based off of, well, you did so many other great things. Like, I'm not going to, like... I'm not gonna forget like what you like
what you did.
What you did, you know.
Yeah. And also like it's like it's a caveat to things. Yeah. Like when like Biden, you could go across the board, you're just a fucking piece of shit president.
Right, like there's nothing redeemable. Yeah, exactly. There's
nothing that you're doing that's right. You can't clock a broken clock does better than you.
Yeah,
that's fucking bad, bro. Like you really fucking up out here. So whereas Trump was hitting on so many things, it's like on one where he was like, okay.
And then also the big mistake he made, any of us could have made that mistake.
This is a world. This is not an American issue. This is a world issue.
Yeah, or so, at least they say it's a world issue.
Well, yeah, like the way they. But you got to understand, it was not a world issue. It was the way it was sold. This is like everybody was in cahoots.
Yeah.
Every fucking body. Unless you're a poor country, ain't got nothing to worry about, your lie or whatever. Like, but all, like basically all NATO countries were on the same shit.
Yeah.
So it's like, that's harder to contend with because you're going really against the world.
Yeah, exactly.
And so you got to play your cards like, right.
Completely unprecedented.
Yeah. Shit. And in many ways, hedge your bets like, all right, cool. This is as... I'm willing to do Operation Warp Speed. I'm not willing to force people.
Yeah.
But then what happens when you do all this and you break the red tape and you lose?
Yeah.
And then you, not only do you lose, but the next guy says, it's fucking mandatory, yeah, motherfucker. And if you don't like it, you're fired.
Yeah.
And if you don't like it, like this is because of you. All this, it's a fucking pandemic of the unvaccinated.
Yeah.
That's what the fuck, like, and then at that point, it's like, well, Donnie T wasn't really on that. Like,
no, right. But being so based and real, it's like, yeah, motherfucker, but you still fucked up.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. Yeah, exactly. So yeah, basically I making sure it's like I'm not giving Tucker too much grace because it's like, you know, I wanna be real. But it's like, oh, but I fucks with dudes.
Yeah, so. I still think he does fall under the TradCon, but I feel
100%,
like
100%, but it's just
I feel like
it's a shade or two different.
Yeah, because I feel that had it been Tucker on the other side of Pearly Things, like he would have been like, oh, like, so you're saying like he would have like started like understanding her arguments.
Yeah.
And let her. Well, it's hard because again, I forget that the Michael Knowles and the Just Pearly Things, it was a debate, it wasn't an interview. I don't feel that Tucker under the circumstance of this situation would be like, well, I want to debate her.
It would be more like an interview.
Exactly. Yeah. I want to pick her brain on it. And so it's like, yes, he's going to give his thoughts, but it's like, he's not going to be the type of person who's going to be like, no, I'm dogmatic about it. That's what it was. He didn't seem dogmatic about shit. Like, yeah, he would be dogmatic about shit.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what it was.
Yeah, that sounds like it could be, yeah.
But it's one of those things that unless he gets into, like, because he really hasn't really...
Touched the subject.
So I'd be very interested in seeing, like, if he did touch the subject, like, what would happen? What would he say?
But see, that's the thing. Like, he's more cut from the cloth of Trump, where I feel like he kind of know... I feel like Tucker's like a lot more aware of things than he leads on.
Yes.
Like he's definitely that guy. It's like, I'm going to play dumber than I am. Yes. Trump is definitely that guy. We know that for a fact. Yes. Trump is definitely the guy. It's like, yes, I want you to think I'm a buffoon. I want you to think that I don't know.
Yeah.
I know all more than all you motherfuckers, but like you guys could keep thinking. I feel like Tucker is kind of cut from that same cloth.
Yeah.
And so that may not be necessarily a topic that he wants to delve into, especially when you know it's like it could be potentially a losing one because the facts are not on your side.
Yeah.
Because, like, you know, Tucker, where I dig Tucker a lot is like he's so adamant about a lot of things that like the conservatives won't be adamant about. Like, I love how, like in the Destiny, and then we'll close out the episode, but how in the Destiny Ben Shapiro debate when Lex Fridman brought up January 6th and they were talking about it, and Destiny says, well, Trump knowingly disseminated false information about the election.
Yeah.
And then Ben Shapiro's argument was like, well, I don't think he knowingly disseminated false information. He's like, I don't think Donald Trump knows that he lost the election. He's like, I know he lost. Ben Shapiro says that. So Destiny believes that Donald Trump knowingly disseminated false information about the election. Yeah. And Ben Shapiro is like, I don't think he knowingly did it, but I do think that he lost the election. So they're both on the same accord that Trump lost the election.
Yeah.
Tucker is the G that is like, no, Trump didn't lose the election. It was stolen. Like, that's Tucker. Yes. That's Tucker. It's like, you motherfuckers are so like in your books or whatever it is that like you don't know what's going on the ground level. It was a stolen election.
Yeah.
That's the difference with Tucker is like, there's too much anecdotal, too much empirical evidence to support that the election was stolen.
You'd be a buffoon, for real.
So my point is the fact that like he's like when he's sure of things, he's adamant about it, even though like the rest of Conservative Inc. is not on the same page with him.
Yep.
When it comes to Putin, when it comes to the war in Ukraine, when it comes to the election, when it comes to the jab, all of these sorts of things, the spirituality of the country, he cares more a lot about that than Ben Shapiro and the Daily Wire guys do. He don't care. Like, yeah, this is who I am. But the fact that he hasn't like navigated this kind of shows me is I have maybe more needs to unfold before I can
truly have this conversation.
Especially have Donnie T pivoting on abortion. Well, not that he's pivoting, because Donnie T was never really
anti or
super pro-life. Well, he says he's pro-life, but he's not anti-abortion.
Yeah.
But the fact that the way that he's navigating it, because he knows it's a losing electoral issue.
Yeah.
Shows that it's like, all right, I think Tucker sees things in a similar light. It's like, well, we have to let things unfold before we talk so vehemently about certain things.
Yeah, because I do think that if Tucker invites the red pill conversation, that's where it's like, when there's timelines in history, that would be like a noteworthy time. Was like, wow, this is the time where like the world talked about this, and now there's no going back, because now this is things in your will face.
Never be the same.
There's
no going back. Yeah,
you've changed things.
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, that's our episode for this week. Thank you guys so much for listening. The show continues to grow because you guys keep listening, so keep on listening. Remember, if we talk about something that you know somebody would be interested in, please share the episode with them. We're on all podcast platforms. If you want to help us stay independent, you can go to our website. You can donate an amount of your choosing or buy some merch. And if you're listening to us on Apple or Spotify, give us a 5-star review. It helps us out a lot. We'll see you guys next week. We're out. Peace.
Peace.